ask the Lord shall be pleased to help me. I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in Psalm 119 and the 9th verse. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Psalm 119 and the 9th verse. I want, as the Lord shall help me, to say something that will be helpful to you, dear young people, as you go on your way in life's journey. You are living in exceedingly solemn times, perilous times, the Word of God declares these times to be. And they are especially perilous for you who are in life's mourning. You are now young, and you have many thoughts, searchings of heart it may be, as you are living your life. You think your own thoughts. I'm not fitting any caps on, but it may be some of you think you know a great deal more than you really do, and that you can form judgments as to what you will be and what you will do. But when all is said and done, the Word of God has been let down into this poor sin-cursed earth, and whatever our age may be, whether young, middle-aged or old, you and I have got to stand or fall by what the Word of God declares concerning us. And therefore it is all important that you should inquire, even in life's mourning, and the sooner it can be, the better it will be for you later on, what saith the Scriptures? And that you might have that concern that you sung about in an earlier hymn, and be concerned that your life should be lived in the covers of the Word of God. Remember that this word of the psalmist was inspired, and that is, God himself lodged it in his heart for his hand to write down for all the ages to come. And this question is also answered at the same time. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. There is no other alternative as to how the way you go can be made clean, and that you should live aright. The Word of God itself alone is our guide. And the psalmist knew this in his own heart. And he tells us, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And so I want, as the Lord to help me, to say something helpful to you in looking at this word from one or two viewpoints of it. And when I was pondering this subject, hoping it might be the one God would help me to say something to you on, I call to my remembrance what I read long years ago about a godly minister, one of ours, who in his day served the churches in the area in which he lived, and he was very much esteemed. He was not a pastor, but in his everyday life he had a farm, and that farm was conducted by a bailiff managed for him. And this godly minister was much esteemed, and it came to pass that in one of the churches where he went to preach, some trouble arose. And the godly deacon wrote to this minister asking for some counsel in a particular matter which had arisen in the church. And the minister gave it his attention, and he wrote a letter stating what his mind was. And at the same time, he sent a little note to the bailiff of his farm, giving him some instruction, and by some means the godly minister put the letter that should have gone to the bailiff in the envelope that was addressed to the deacon of the church, so that when the church was gathered together and the deacon opened the letter to read, what do you think he read? On just a short piece of paper, this was addressed to his bailiff: make sure all the fences on the farm are strong and in good order, and keep watch on the big black bull. And of course this letter was read before the church, and they sat in astonishment. And then the godly deacon began to ponder the matter, and he said, "I can see, friends, what our friend the minister means. We have this matter to attend to, the trouble that has arisen, and we are to make sure about our doctrines, that we stand fast in the faith, and we are to stand by the rules that govern our church, and if things are not as they should be, then we must exercise discipline." And of course, what he means by the big black bull is Satan, for the word of God says, "He goeth about as a roaring lion," and he is referred to also as the old serpent and the dragon. And no doubt at all, the godly minister means Satan when he thinks of the big black bull. And they attended to the matter, and they stuck fast to what their rules declared they should be and do in conducting the church. And God appeared on their behalf, and there was no more trouble. And now I thought, as I that come to my mind, that is simply, speaking with great reverence, what the psalmist is referring to. After all, the word of God is just full of fences. What you must do and how you must keep inside those fences. You have been taught those from your youth up. When you learn, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee," that is a fence to keep you in order in doing that which is right before God from a moral viewpoint. When you read, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy," that is just another fence. And all through the word of God, in the places you may come into as you are growing up and going out into life, you will find the word of God has provided a fence a strong fence as to what set the scriptures, what you should be and what you should do in this matter, and that there is nothing that can come upon you in life's journey but what in the Word of God you will find what set the scriptures concerning it, so that it will be a mercy to prize if many of you, dear young people, should find it in your hearts a concern that you might be like the psalmist when he says lower down, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And now, that teaches us that the way he is going along as he is born is not clean. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Man is born like that. How often I have quoted, the carnal mind is enmity against God, and is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. And you, dear young people, as you come into various stages in growing up, in life's morning, you will have thoughts arising, as I said at the outset, as to what you desire to be and to do. And I am going to tell you that one of your principal thoughts will be, until God helps you to see otherwise, I should do as I like. You will be still concerned to live as you were born. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And that is how you will feel. And maybe you will want to make your plans. And you will know of a truth that the way you are going, the way you purpose to go, it is not the way that you should be going. If you ask again, what saith the scriptures? The way that you want to go as you were born is the way that is for this life only. No concern about what lies beyond the grave, just a concern regarding this life and your ambitions pushing you on that you shall be this or that. Your way needs cleansing. What did the Saviour say? Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the gate, wide is the gate, and broad is the way, and many there be that go down it, and it leadeth to destruction. And now I want, having made that introduction, to look at this word from one or two viewpoints. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. I want to look at the words taking heed, because when all is said and done, there is no other book beneath the sun that can begin to compare with the Holy Bible. When you begin to look into it and read the words recorded, you have to realize God spake all these words. God in the scriptures to reveal his will has condescended. What he has said there, he'll fulfill, though man should be offended. And what I want you, dear young people, to keep in mind is this. You may think, as you listen to what one desires to say for your eternal welfare, that you will still go on in your way, your own way. But I want you to remember that you cannot escape the consequences of it. You may turn your back on the word of God now, but there is a day to come when time shall be no more, when the word of God will be brought forth with regard to you and how you treated it, whether you lived your life desiring to live in accordance with its blessed teaching, or whether you were content to live outside of it. The Savior said, it is a very, very solemn word, he that rejecteth me and my words hath one that judgeth him. It shall judge him at the last day. As though God, I say this with great reverence, as though God might say to you before his judgment seat, how did you deal with my word when you dwelt on earth? Did you seek to make it your guide? Did you seek that your life should be governed by its influence? Or did you disregard it and go your way? Very solemn it will be then. This word of God that you may now reject and turn aside from its blessed teaching will then become your judge. Oh, but if you should be helped to look into it and read it and seek divine aid to read it to your soul's profit, who can tell but what God will be gracious unto you? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? You see, the way that poor sinners go along as they are born, it is unclean. Sins in thought, word, and deed, sins of omission, sins of commission, make that way to be unclean. But then God in his mercy has revealed in this word of his how that way may be cleansed and matters may be made right between that young man going along it, or a young woman as the case may be, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And now think of the word of God from the viewpoint of being the book it is. I said there is no other book beneath the sun like it. You cannot have any other book that you can compare with it. All other books are a contrast to the Word of God, because the Word of God on its cover has got Holy Bible, and it is the only book that you dare put the word holy on, and that is because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Take heed to how God gave it to us. Think of its origin, its authority. Think of its author. The hand of God wrote it. He used men to record the words therein. But the Holy Spirit took 1600 years to gather together all that is recorded in the Holy Bible. There were 30 writers in the Word of God, in the books that are compiled therein. And what is wonderful that you find throughout the Word of God, there is a wonderful harmony. There is nothing that shows any discrepancy wherein one differs from another, but all speak with one mind, and that is because holy men of old spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And then, when the Word of God was completed, as it were, and gathered together so that it could be circulated think how it has been circulated. The Holy Bible has been sent out nowadays in nearly 1,000 different languages beneath the sun. Millions have been broadcast like that, like good seeds scattered worldwide. And who can tell how much of it will be owned of God? We know it will be owned of God. How much we have to leave to what is the will of God concerning it. But there is one word I like to look at sometimes, and it tells us, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." There is one thing in regard to that wonderful word that often makes me have searchings of heart. "It shall not return unto me void." So that every time a man ordained of God to preach goes forth to preach the gospel, set forth the word of God, whatever his fears or faintings may be about his labors, he does not labor in vain in God's account. Here is the word of God. "It shall not return unto me void." But I had a very solemn opening up of that to me many years ago in my early pastorate. And that is, it shall not return unto me void. Sometimes there are those who are brought in, like into a cause of truth, as our cause is here, and they hear the word of God, the gospel is preached, but they do not seem to get any good or profit, but they still remain as they were born. And now, Paul tells us, "To the one we are a savour of life unto life, and to the other, death unto death." So that the word of God does not return unto God void, even when those who reject it and will not receive it, but say, "We will not have this man to reign over us," because that seals their own condemnation, which will be made manifest in the day of judgment. And now that is a very solemn consideration. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Another thing to take heed to with the word of God, and that is its information. And I'm going to say something which is a great thing to state. The information in the word of God has never been faulted. There are men, godless men, very wise in this world's wisdom, who try to overturn the word of God and say what they feel in their hearts about this and that statement therein, but they cannot undo it or overturn it. And in regard to science, you need to remember whatever science has to say, and science doesn't always say the same thing. You go back 50 years to what science has said about some things, and they do not say that today. They have brought forth another proposition regarding this matter or that. They change their views of things. And so Paul tells us, oppositions of science, falsely so called. There is nothing whatever that godly scientists have ever found out regarding this world but what the Word of God can tell them somewhat about it and verify what they find out, and that it is in accordance with what saith the Scriptures. You need to remember that in your school life and your college life. The information in the Word of God is infallible. God is the author of it. Its instruction, you can depend on it. It is reliable. It is guaranteed by God. Thus saith the Lord. And whatever it records as to history, that can be verified. Yes. What saith the Scriptures? And then another thought about the Word of God, and you should take heed to that. There is no book like it beneath the sun that can make you feel like the Word of God makes you feel when you are helped to read it aright. When God is pleased to give you light upon the sacred pages, you can look into it and you can see how sad our state by nature is. You can see your own portrait with the Blessed Spirit's aid as to what a sinner you are, a sinner of deepest dye. And then you can turn the pages again and you will see the remedy that God has provided. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and that although your way hitherto has been the way of a young man after the flesh, the things of the flesh, and living as worldlings do, it can yet be cleansed, and you can begin living a new life and going along a new way, a way inside the covers of the Word of God. Much might be said under that heading. Then there is another thing to take heed to, and that is the Word of God has been wonderfully preserved ever since the Spirit of God gathered it together. Earth and hell alike have conspired to assail it and to seek to nullify its wondrous influence, but they have not succeeded, and they never will do. God preserves it. Whatever earth or hell may do, the Word of God will pursue that way that God has ordained, and wherever it goes, who are sinners, whatever their age, who are helped to read the Word of God aright, seeking to live in accordance with its blessed teaching, God has guaranteed that they shall hold on their way, and that the good work once begun within, it will be completed however long they may live. And the weakest soul shall win the day, though earth and hell obstruct the way. And one thing about the Word of God is this. There is no other book you can name that men, women, and those who are young too, as well as the old, youths and maids, they have gone to the stake, they have laid their heads on the block, because they would not give up the Holy Bible, which God had made a blessing to them in their soul's experience. There is no other book that you would find men, women, willing to die for, that it might live, for mankind still to possess it, to read it, but there are tens of thousands, the noble army of martyrs, who loved not their lives unto the death, and they did it that the Word of God might remain to be a blessing to ages to come, and they would not give up what they humbly believed God had made the Word of God to be in their soul's experience. I have told you sometimes about Jimmy Douglas, the young Scottish lad, how when he was captured reading the Bible, in the Covenanting days, when the dragoons were out to try to capture all who were seeking to worship God aright and hail them to prison or else put them to death, and they caught this young Jimmy Douglas, and one of the dragoons held him over a cliffside and commanded him to give up the Bible. But he would not do it. And they said, "You will be dropped down to your death if you do not give it up." And he said, "Whatever you do, I must leave. But to be dropped down here is not so deep as to drop into hell." And they dropped him down. And he died in the Lord because of what he felt. The Word of God was, and God had made it to be, a reality. To him, he was like Abijah, with some good thing in his heart. And I noticed another young man in the record of the Covenanters, and his name was Andrew. And when he was found reading the Bible, the dragoons caught him, and they told him if he did not promise to give up the Bible and no more read it, that he would die. And he said to them, "I can look you in the face. I have done nothing of which I need to be ashamed. But as for you, how will you look in that day when you shall be judged by what is written in this book?" And as he held the Bible up before the soldiers, he was shot dead. Now, there is no other book beneath the sun that will enable people, young and old, to behave like that, dear young people. And oh, that you would take heed to these things. And then, when you think of the Word of God from another viewpoint, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." And now, you take heed, as it were, God help you to do it, take heed to its revelations, its realities. And now, many times in my life as a pastor, and in journeying about among the churches in our denominational life, I have been by people's dying beds, and many times I found it very profitable. Sometimes it has been with those who were young. More often, those who were old. But when I have been there, I have and visited them. Ere I have departed, someone has said, perhaps the one who was ill, "Will you read before you go and speak in prayer for me? I should like you to do so." And now, what book is it that you would read then? Would Shakespeare be any help at such a time? Any other book that man is the author of? It is the book, the Holy Bible. And oh, how often I have been helped to read it, and sometimes especially helped to try to pray for those who were stepping out of time into eternity. And now, you are going to do that. You are young now. You might live to be like the preacher, old and grey-headed, but however long you may live, there is that step that you will ultimately take you will step out of time into eternity. And I can assure you that what you will want then to help you feel as you want to feel, that matters are right between God and you, is what you can find alone in this Holy Bible. And thus the psalmist emphasizes it. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. What did you sing? Divine instructor, gracious Lord, O be forever near, help me to read thy sacred word and find my Saviour there. I remember reading of a godly woman who was dying, and she was visited by a godly minister, and she was just about leaving this world to go into an eternal state. And the godly minister said to her, how are you in the prospect of what is before you? And she took up the Bible that was by her bedside, and she said, I have Christ here in the Word of God. I have Christ there. My record is on high. And I have Christ here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And now that is a revelation. That godly woman had taken heed according to the word of God. Therefore, she had light on her path. And especially when she was coming down to the end of it. And now, there is another thought about the Word of God, and there is no other book beneath the sun that can occupy such a place. And that is, in California, there is what is called the Yosemite Valley, where there are wonderful views, and it is a very large and long valley. There is one point in that valley which all travellers in that region desire to be found on, and it is called Inspiration Point, because when they stand there, they can get a view backwards through the valley and forwards also, and view it on either side. And now, that is just what Calvary's Cross is, dear young people. You might say that without going against the Word of God at all, Calvary's Cross could be called Inspiration Point, because when you stand there, you can look back over all the ages of Old Testament times and see how godly men in every age look forward to Jesus Christ coming into the world to save sinners, and then, having looked backward, realizing at Calvary's Cross that he has done love's redeeming work, you can look forward through the ages yet to come to when the Word of God will be fulfilled to the full. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Inspiration point. There you see the Word of God fulfilled. Jesus Christ is the center of the Word of God and the circumference of it. And there is one word that Jesus said I like to think on often, as I am helped to do it. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. Oh, you must be careful. You must take heed what you do with the Word of God, because of him whose word it is. What think ye of Christ? What saith the Scriptures? And now, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And now, a little while ago, I read of an incident which I thought when I read it, I will tell that to our young people. And that was a young man who lived in a well-to-do family, and he came of age, and his people were well known, and as he was coming of age, they had a party, a coming of age party, and many people were there, and this young man had a godly uncle, and he was very wealthy. And he hoped he would remember him on this particular birthday of his, and so he did. While the party was going on, his godly uncle just called, and he gave the young man two envelopes. And one of them contained a large check as a present, which pleased the young man very much. He gave him another envelope, and he told him he was not to open that envelope till he was in the privacy of his bedroom at night. And when he opened it at length, he found a piece of paper with the words, "For me to live is," and then a long line. And now the young man knew just enough of the word of God to know that Paul had said, "For me to live is Christ," but this young man's godly uncle did not put that word in. This young man just coming of age, he had got his life before him to live. What was he going to live for? "For me to live is." And now you, dear young people, what will you put in where the long line is? You cannot venture to say as yet with the Apostle Paul, "For me to live is Christ." The Lord grant you might learn to do that in God's good time. But you have your life before you. "For me to live is to make money, to get on, to have a business, be prospered. For me to live is to go up through school and then into college and university life and take a degree or two and be something special in this world, in filling some niche in it." All these things seem to be lawful, but they all end on this side of the grave. Now you see, the Apostle Paul, when he said, "For me to live is Christ," where was he? The Apostle Paul then was a prisoner at Rome. And just after he had those great words welling up in his breast, "For me to live is Christ," he says this, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." I might just add that this young man of whom I have told you, somewhat later in his life, he was dealt with by the Spirit of God, and he did know what it was to live his life, not for this life only, but with a concern to have matters right between his soul and God. And he lived his life from the time he was born again with eternity in view. Where shall I spend eternity? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And now, I just want to tell you this as I come toward the Amen. I said a little while ago about the Word of God being the book, and there was no other book like it. Now, you young people in your school life, you've learned a great deal about Sir Walter Scott and the novels he wrote and such like. And when he was dying, he said to his manservant, "Bring me the book." And the manservant did not understand, and he said, "What is the title of the book?" And Sir Walter Scott said, "I said the book. That is God's book. I mean the Holy Bible. Bring me the book." And he left on record these words: "Within this awful volume lies the mystery of mysteries. Thrice happy they of human race, to whom their God has given grace to read, to fear, to hope, to pray, to lift the latch, to force the way. And better had men ne'er been born than read to doubt or read to scorn." I wonder whether that great man that he was in his day as a writer did find that matters were right between his soul and God when he died. But this is the word for you to be considering: wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. I was looking into a book a few days ago, and I saw a little record of where a godly man who was pastor in our Cause of Truth in Bedford many years ago, 100 years ago, left a little record how his little daughter died. As he was by her dying bed, she said to her father, "Father, can you see behind your back? Why do you ask, my dear? That is where my sins are, behind God's back." You remember about Hezekiah? I mentioned it in the afternoon sermon. "Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." And that little girl, she was not very old, but she had that privilege. And as she was just dying, she raised her hand and kept pointing. And her father asked her why she was doing so. And she said, "I'll point to his redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God." And she died. And now that is what it means for your way to be cleansed, and for you to be journeying on through life with the prospect that heaven awaits you when you reach the end of it. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And there is a word in the Psalms which I would just read to you, because it will emphasize what I have said. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Oh, dear young people, I do earnestly hope that God will grant you that religion, that as you journey on, you may feel in all the difficulties you come into and the troubles that befall you, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. And as I conclude, I want to read you a hymn. I happen to look in an old hymn book, a very old one that I possess, and I opened on a hymn written on this text that I have tried to say a little to you upon. And it was written by a godly minister, one of ours. His name was Fawcett, and you will see his name in our hymn book. He wrote many good hymns. He was a good minister, a godly pastor in Yorkshire, at a place called Wainsgate. He had been there many, many years, and then when good Dr. Gill died, the church in London where he was pastor sent to this good Mr. Fawcett and asked him to succeed Dr. Gill as their pastor. And after a while, he said that he would do. But the people where he lived had been so attached to him for years and were so fond of his ministry that when the furniture vans were loaded and he was about to say farewell to them to go down London Way to his new sphere, their tears were so many and their lamentations that he was nearly heartbroken at the thought of leaving them, and he said that he would remain where he was with them at Wainscape and not go to London as he had purposed to do. And having felt like that, he wrote a hymn that you sometimes help to sing under Union Chapel roof. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of Christian minds is like to that above. And now he wrote this hymn, and the text over it is, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? With humble heart and tongue, my God, to thee I pray. O make me learn, whilst I am young, how I may cleanse my way. Now in my early days, teach me thy will to know. O God, thy sanctifying grace betimes on me bestow. Make an unguarded youth the object of thy care. Help me to choose the way of truth and fly from every snare. My heart to folly prone, renew by power divine. Unite it to thyself alone and make it wholly thine. O, let thy word of grace my warmest thoughts employ. Be this through all my following days my treasure and my joy. To what thy laws impart, be my whole soul inclined. O, let them dwell within my heart and sanctify my mind. May thy young servant learn by these to cleanse his way. And may I hear the path discern that leads to endless day. The Lord help you, dear young people, to think upon these things, and may his blessing be upon you for time and eternity. Amen.
Hymn number 30.